Welcome to the Hoopsite Podcast. My name is Alex Kennedy. This is episode number 212. We post new episodes every Monday and Thursday, so be sure to check back each week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Joining me today is a 12-year NBA veteran. He's won two NCAA championships and an NBA championship. My guest is Corey Brewer. Corey, thanks for joining me. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. I know things are crazy right now, so thanks for taking time to do this. Let's start with your childhood. I read that you would get up early as a kid, work with your father on a farm and in tobacco fields, harvesting crops, driving a tractor. You also helped your dad with his waste management company. Do you think that helped shape your work ethic?
Oh, definitely, for sure. Getting up early, having to go to the field when it's really hot outside in Tennessee in the summer, you know, I think that makes you appreciate things a lot more.
For sure. And I mean, back then, what were some of the things that you would do around the field and around the farm with your dad?
I used to have to go to the tobacco field, so I had to set the tobacco, I had to cut it, I had to chop it out, I had to top it, I had to strip it, I had to put it in a barn, I had to drive the tractor, I had to plow the fields. I pretty much did everything there was to do in the tobacco field. Then my dad also had a trash route, so had to go pick up everybody other people's trash. That was not really fun, but it was a job I had to do, and it was his job, and you know, it was just hard work.
How old were you when you started doing all that?
Ever since I can remember being 4 years old and going to the field with my dad. Like, just I always went to the field ever since I was a little kid, so I didn't know anything anything differently.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like it helped you, build that work ethic up and, putting in hard days of work. Let's talk about your time at the University of Florida. You were at UF for 3 years. You guys won two national championships. You played alongside Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Mo Spates in year two, among others. Those Gators teams were just so dominant. What was it like to be part of those squads?
It was amazing. College was amazing. Just going to the University of Florida, being able to play with the guys I played with, you know, playing with Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Torian Green, Lee Humphrey, Maurice Space, Chris Richard, Walter Hodge. We had a lot of good players. And just to be there and have a chance to win, you know, winning is what it's all about. And we got to win two national championships. So there's no other place to go than Florida.
Yeah, you guys won two championships, and then the football team won two national championships as well in 2006 and 2008. That was when Tim Tebow was there. I had Mo Spates on the podcast recently, and he talked about how much fun it was to be a Gator and be on campus at that time. How much fun was that?
It was amazing. It was so much fun. Like, I guess Mo's right. It was so much fun just being on campus, just winning. Football team was winning. Basketball team was winning. Our gymnastic team was good. Our softball team was good. Everybody was good. So it was fun. Like, everybody's winning. Everybody's happy. Like, you know, when you're winning, like, the whole school's happy. So it was great.
These days, we see so many players who are one and done in college. You, Noah, and Horford could have left school after the 2005-06 season and been first-round picks, but you decided to stay and defend your title. What went into that decision for you, and how did staying in college for 3 years help you?
It helped me a lot, I think. It helped me mature, just being able to be under Coach Donovan for an extra year, learn the game just to get better. But it was a tough decision. You know, NBA is, you know, unbelievable. You know, it's once in a lifetime chance. So for us to be able to get drafted, you know, everybody probably thought we should have left. But the friendship, I think our friendship – and just being able to be with each other for another year, that was the reason we went back.
And now you see, you know, players entering the NBA, 19 years old. You know, I'm sure you've played with a lot of players that were in that boat, you know, rookies that were teenagers. You know, how tough is that for these guys that are super young, you know, spend 1 year in college? Now we're seeing some of these guys go the G League route, the professional path, where they spend a year in the G League, they enter the NBA. Obviously, there's tons of players in, you know, NBA history that it's worked out for or that went from high school to the NBA. But, you know, how difficult is that for guys when they're that young? Do you feel like guys should play in college maybe more than they do?
I think it just depends on everybody's situation. I feel like if they have a good support system with them, it's okay for young guys to go to the league. It's the guys who don't have a good support system that once they get in the league, they're overwhelmed and they understand it's a different world and they don't know how to help themselves or they don't have the right tools to help them be the best player they can be. But you know, I think kids, if you can go to college, I would always advise kids to go to college, because there's a lot of great college coaches, and you're able to mature and you're able to be out on your own.
For sure. In the 2007 draft, Horford goes 3, you go 7, Noah goes 9. That must have been so exciting. I mean, what were your favorite memories from your draft night?
Just being with those guys. We were Joe Kim and Al, they're both in the green room with me. You know, when you're in the green room, it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. You're sitting there, you don't know what to expect. All the people, and you know, your name's about to get called. You're about to go to the NBA. Just seeing those guys, going through the process with them, it was just so much fun.
Back in 2014, you had 51 points and 6 steals in a win over the Rockets. You were 19 of 30 from the field. Only 3 other players in NBA history have had 50-point, 6-steal games. It was Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Rick Barry. Walk me through that night for you and how you were feeling.
I was feeling pretty good. I think when I got to the arena, my man Kevin Martin, he said he wasn't going to be playing. And then Kevin Love wasn't going to play either. So I was like, oh, man, that's a lot of scoring right there. It's going to be some opportunities to go out here and get some shots up. So once the game started, it was just, you know, I made my first 3 or 4 shots. And then I felt like I couldn't miss after that. And it was just so much fun. You know, I got a guy like Ricky Rubio, you know, just outing the ball to me, giving me easy layups. And J.J. Barrero kept telling me to go. They were behind me, my teammates. I think Dante Cunningham, he was really happy. Like, all my teammates were great that night.
You've played for the Timberwolves, Mavericks, Nuggets, Rockets, Lakers, Thunder, 76ers, and Kings. When you look back, which season was the most fun for you?
Man, I had a lot of fun seasons. I think the year we went to the Western Conference Finals when I was in Houston was a lot of fun, just because that team, we played really well. I think we ran into Golden State in the Western Conference Finals, but we had some injuries. You know, Patrick Beverly wasn't playing. Monty Yunus got hurt. But that was a fun year, just to get all the way to the Western Conference Finals, and the way we came back and beat the Clippers, that was a lot of fun.
Of all the teams that you've played on, which team was the closest or had the best chemistry?
Man, I think playing some good teams. My Denver team, when I played in Denver, it was real close. We had a lot of chemistry. I think that was one of my funnest years when I was in Denver. The year we were the 3 seed, I think we won like 40 games at home. We were really close. I think we ran into Golden State again. I think Golden State beats me every year in the playoffs. I think that's the first year they became Golden State. We got beat by those guys. Gallinari gets hurt, and Fareed gets hurt. So that was a good year. I think that team was really close.
Was it difficult playing for 8 teams in 12 years? I've talked to some players in the podcast who have, you know, bounced around, you know, and kind of were in the same boat. I mean, you're constantly adjusting to a new coach, new teammates, a new city, and so on. You know, was bouncing around from team to team difficult for you?
It was difficult, but for me, I just love basketball. I look at it as I get the opportunity to play basketball, so it doesn't matter where I'm playing as long as I get to play. And I'm playing the NBA. It's the best job in the world. So I took it as, hey, it's an opportunity to see different cities, different organizations, and I just tried to learn something everywhere I went.
One of the benefits of playing with so many different teams is that you had a ton of teammates over the years. You've played with a lot of great players. So I want to hit you with some teammate superlatives where, you know, I throw something out there like best leader, and then you choose a player or two and explain why. Does that sound good?
All good. Let's go.
All right. So let's start with that. Best leader. Of all the guys you've played with, who is the best leader?
The best leader, man, I'm about to say Jason Kidd. He was great. Just been out there the year we won the championship, the way he was leading, you know, the way he got the ball to Dirk, Jason Terry, and just he made everybody happy. But, you know, he was like another coach on the floor.
Who was your funniest teammate?
Funniest teammate. I mean, I played with a lot of funny guys. I tell you, guys, it's funny and nobody realized Nikola Pekovic. He was funny.
Oh, I like that. That's a good answer. You can name a few for this one, but who were the hardest workers?
Oh, man. I played with a lot of great players, and they all are hard workers. James Harden's one of the hardest working guys I played with, for sure. And I don't think people think he's, you know, he gets all these calls and stuff, but he's talented. And the way he scores and the way he works in his game, the step backs, he works hard on that. And Dirk, man, Dirk, he was out there just perfecting his craft, the one leg stuff, the fadeaways. He really worked on his game. So those two guys definitely at the top.
Who were the best trash talkers?
Man, Sean Marion's a pretty good trash talker. He talked. He was good. I like Jason Terry was really good. Yeah, those two guys. I'll say that.
Then two more. Who was your smartest teammate?
Oh man, I play with a lot of smart guys. Off the top of my head, I have to say Jason Kidd for sure. Ricky Rubio was really smart. The way he made his passes is amazing. You know, he seen stuff before it happened. And I had to go with James Harden again. You know, he knew how to score. He could figure
And then who's the best guy to party with?
it out. Oh man. That's got a party with. I had a lot of great teammates. You know, James was fun, definitely. Jason Terry for sure.
Love it. You mentioned that, moving on from that, those are great answers. Let's talk about that Mavericks team that won a championship in 2011. I had Sean Marion on the podcast recently, and he was awesome. And we talked about how that team was viewed as such a huge underdog against that Miami Heat squad, but you guys all were feeling like you were going to win, and you were hating that the media wasn't giving you guys the credit you deserved. What was the mentality of that team entering that series against the Miami Heat? Because I feel like everyone was doubting you guys, but you all knew you were going to win it all.
Yeah, we just had that feeling. You know, when you're playing your best basketball and you just feel like you can win. I think that's the same way we felt the year we won a national championship my first year. We won it. Nobody gave us a chance. We were like ranked like 75th at the beginning of the year. And I feel like when you just hit a groove, you just feel like you can beat anybody. And that's the same feeling I had when I was in the Dallas team. I feel like those guys, the mentality they had, like Sean knew he could go out there and he could do what he could do. He could guard. Him and Deshaun both thought they could guard LeBron and guard D-Wade. Dirk knew he was Dirk, man. And then J. Kidd was just the leader he is. And you got a guy like Jason Terry coming off the way he come off the bench and just can score. And then J.J. Barrera played out of his mind. He was amazing. You know, you got to give him a lot of credit the way he played. And then our bench was great too. You got Peja Stojakovic, one of the best shooters to ever play in the NBA. Got like big Brandon Haywood coming off his center. And then Tyson Chandler, man, he was the big anchor on defense. So we just had a good team, and I think everybody believed.
Yeah, I feel like that team doesn't get enough love. That team was so talented, and yeah, obviously Miami had the big three and a ton of star players, but I feel like that team, even now, is still kind of underrated. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure. Definitely underrated, man. But it was a great team. I think if guys could have came back for another year, they had another chance to run a championship again. But yeah, it was a really good team.
Yeah, when Deshaun was on the podcast, he was talking about how frustrating that was having the team get broken up. That's always tough. But what did it mean to you to have not only an NBA championship but an NCAA championship too? I mean, there's not many players that can say they've won at the college level and the NBA level. The fact that you have two NCAA championships and an NBA championship, what did that mean to you to join that elite company?
I mean, it's a lot. Anytime you play a sport, you want to win. So to let you know I was a winner, and you know that's what it's all about, being able to win championships, and just to have one in both levels means a lot.
Since 2007, when you entered the NBA, we've seen the league evolve a lot. Now there's more three-point shooting. There's a bigger emphasis on versatility. We see a lot of positionless basketball. There's a lot of switching on defense, things like that. How much has the style of play changed from when you entered the NBA to now?
Oh, it's changed a lot. It's like a whole 180, I guess you could say. Because when I first came to the league, you had guys like Yao, you had Shaq still in the league. You had dominant forces. You just threw it on the block. I played with Al Jefferson my rookie year, who could really score, and we went in the post a lot. Like we threw on the ball most of the game. And then at the end of my career, like now, it's really not a post game. It's all about shooting threes, playing fast, and like you said, positionless basketball. So it's changed a lot.
Whenever Brian Scalabrine was on the podcast, he was saying he remembers the year when he started seeing that evolution happen. He was talking about playing against those Orlando Magic teams with Dwight Howard, Rashard Lewis, Hito Turkoglu, and just realizing that, three-point shooting was taking over the NBA. Do you remember when those changes started happening? Did you remember noticing, wow, the league is changing a lot?
Yeah, for sure. That Orlando team definitely started changing it. And then I remember when I got to Denver, George Karl, the way he wanted to play, it was basically the same. We played Gallinari at the four a lot and Wilson Chandler at the four a lot. And, you know, they were spacers and it was so much space. And we shot a lot of threes and we just played fast. So I knew the game was going to go in a different direction. And then that year in the playoffs, we played against Golden State. And I think David Lee gets hurt. And Draymond Green has to play, and the way he was just playing point forward, you kind of knew where the game was going.
For sure. You're a free agent right now. I know you want to continue playing. Have you talked to any teams or received interest from any teams throughout this season?
Yeah, we had some talks with a few teams, but nothing really happened. My agent's still working on it, so and I feel like I can still help a team. I feel like I got a couple of good years left, but you never know, man. It's a lot of young guys now, so we'll see what happens.
I feel like you can help a team on and off the court. You know, in addition to your play, you're a great veteran to have in the locker room, a great leader. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure. You know, I feel like I can point out some things that can help these young guys. You know, it's a lot of little things, basketball, that you can really that guys really need help with. You know, they only see the big picture, they don't see the little things.
How much basketball did you watch throughout this season?
I watched a lot. You know, I love basketball and, you know, hoping to have a chance to play. You got to keep watching so I know what's going on. It was a lot of good basketball being played. Milwaukee Bucks looked really good. The Lakers playing great basketball. It was some good basketball.
Yeah, hopefully we can finish the season. Obviously, we're all stuck at home right now. How have you been staying in shape and, you know, staying ready for that NBA call if it comes throughout, you know, the pandemic and staying at home?
Oh man, just been organized at my house actually, just running, doing different stuff, doing pool workouts, getting on the elliptical, doing ball handling outside, just all the little things I can do, just to try to stay ready.
I did an article where I talked to a bunch of players about how they're staying in shape and everything. And I feel like veteran players may have an advantage during this time because, you know, young players may not know all the drills they need to be doing. You know, they rely on the trainers and their coaches a lot. Whereas veteran players, you guys have been keeping your body in shape for many years. So you're kind of pros by now. Do you feel like veterans maybe have it easier than rookie players or, you know, young players during this time?
Yeah, for sure. Just because, you know, veteran guys, we've been around, we know what to expect. You know what your body needs. You know what you have to do to keep your game sharp. Some young guys, you know, they're used to having their trainers always, guys telling them what to do. So it's a little harder for them.
And just one or two more things. I know you've said in the past that you want to get into coaching. I know you also have some interest in broadcasting. You know, what are some things that you want to pursue when your, you know, playing days are over?
Yeah, both those things. You know, I really like broadcasting. I feel like I know the game. I can talk about the game. I see stuff that, you know, normal people probably don't see out there on the court. And also coaching, it goes hand in hand. Same. See the little things. Feel like I can help young guys. You know, you can develop a guy who, you know, he's on their borderline being a superstar, but just a little advice, a little help can really push him over the edge.
Do you feel like the fact that you've played for eight different teams and played with so many different guys and for so many different coaches, you think that could help you as a coach because, you know, you've picked up so many systems and played with so many guys, but also as a broadcaster because you have tons of experience with different players and tons of stories to tell from different teams. You know, do you think your career and jumping around a bit has would be able to help you in both of those careers?
Oh, for sure. Just I think I've had so many teammates, so I really know the players. Not even that, just the systems. I played for a lot of great coaches. I played for Hall of Fame coaches like George Karl, Rick Carlisle, Rick Alderman, Kevin McHale. Just all the things they bring, like the knowledge they bring. Like I feel like I've took something from each one of those.
For sure. Well, Corey, thank you so much for joining me, man. Again, I know things are crazy right now, so I really appreciate you making time. Thanks so much.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Everyone, make sure you follow Corey on Twitter at TheCoreyBrewer. And be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can check out new episodes. Until next time, thanks for listening.